Connell McShane, the host of News Nation Now. You'll watch him from 2 to 4 this afternoon. I'm counting minus 25 votes for Jim Jordan. Connell, is that about your count as well?
Yep, 0 for 3, John, I think is where Jordan stands right now. And you're right, 25 in the other camp, either voting for, you know, Kevin McCarthy or Steve Scalise or somebody else. So he can only afford, depending on how many people vote, to lose 4 or 5, and he's already lost 25. So it's not going to happen on this vote for Jim Jordan, who said this morning, you probably saw that early morning news conference on Capitol Hill, that he's going to keep at it. So nobody seems to know where this thing goes next.
Minus 20 originally in the first round, then 22 against him in the second round, now 25 against him in the third round. One wonders if he thinks he's going to turn the corner. As Kevin McCarthy did, his second round had more nay votes than the first, but evidently he made the deal with 8 members of the Congress and was able to eventually stem the tide. Have you heard? Is there some deal in the offing that Jordan could offer these others as McCarthy did? It seems like their interests are more scattered, though, and more personal.
Absolutely. I think the deal that was out there to be had was the one earlier this week that might have made Patrick McHenry, the temporary speaker, a temporary speaker with powers, and allow him to bring bills to the floor, including the funding request going over from the White House today that the president talked about in his Oval Office address last night, $105 billion. That there was a deal to be had if they wanted to put McHenry in power until, say, January, and then Jordan and everybody else could resume running as temporary, going from temporary to permanent speaker at that point. But the rest of the Republican conference didn't want to go for that. So once that was, you know, scuttled, I guess is the word, the other day, now I don't know that there's any plan in place. So all we know is that Jordan doesn't have the votes. The White House has more than $100 billion it wants to push through the Congress in a hurry, and there's nowhere to turn. You know, it's interesting. We were putting our show together for a Friday afternoon this morning, and I was saying that there were at least 3 big important questions that we thought would be answered by Friday, and none of them are answered. One was, in the war, when was Israel going to move in on the ground? The second, also somewhat related or definitely related to that region, is when was the humanitarian aid going to be allowed in through the so-called Rafah crossing to help the civilians in Gaza? And the third was, when would the U.S. government be functional again, have a plan in place for how they're going to pick up the tab for a lot of this? And none of those questions are answered. I thought maybe at least 2 of them would be, but we don't know any of them, at least so far as we get towards midday in the U.S. on a Friday.
In your estimation, is there any hope that Israel's delay at the border of Gaza is because they're recalculating how severe this invasion is going to be, or are they just loading their guns and it's going to happen full scale?
Well, it really looks like they're laying the groundwork slowly but surely for the invasion coming in from the northern part of Gaza. I mean, just by all the amassing of tanks and manpower that they have there, it still looks like they're ready to go in. They gave outward signs earlier in the week when the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, but also his defense minister and others from his war cabinet, went to the front lines and basically told the troops, telegraphing that you're going to see, as the defense minister put it, Gaza from the inside pretty soon. So, you know, maybe they're trying to send a message to the public and going in a different direction, but it still seems like they're ready to go in. They have a lot of intelligence that they would have to gather first on that tunnel system within Gaza that might be holding some of the hostages. The word is they wanted to gather as much of the intelligence as they could, and then, of course, continue with these massive airstrikes to soften up northern Gaza and even southern Gaza as they continue to hit that last night before going in. But all signs still point to a ground operation or offensive at some point soon. We just haven't seen it yet.
I heard somewhere that the position of Hamas is that they will release the hostages if the shelling stops.
Right.
And maybe that also means if the invasion doesn't happen. Can you comment on that or the well-being of the hostages?
Well, we don't know anything about, and we've talked to so many family members this week, but it's just so, you don't want to get numb to it. It's just so sad to speak to some of these people. We had a guy in New York who had just moved here to New York on the 7th of September, and exactly 1 month later, his sister's family, he had lived in Israel before that, came to New York for his job. His sister's family 1 month later is attacked by Hamas, and somehow his sister and her two little children ended up surviving that, but his brother-in-law has been taken hostage, so he's doing everything he can to get in touch, and they're just, he and others, we've spoken to other families, are just not getting a lot of information right now, and, you know, quite frankly, they don't know whether, A, their loved ones are still alive, and then some of them are asking, I think, how high of a priority their rescue is, because the stated priority of the Israeli government has been to eliminate Hamas. That's priority number one. And then the hostages, it's not as if they're not talking about it at all, but some of the families are starting to feel, well, is this a priority at all, a second priority? How is it going to be handled? What information do they know? They don't know because they say they're not being told.
One last thing. Does the U.S. Congress have the ability to approve funds or munitions for Ukraine or Israel right now?
Not really. I mean, it's just a dysfunctional situation. The president on, you know, has been able to get through smaller amounts of money. I think he talked about that in his overseas trip. But that $105 billion, $60 billion for Ukraine, I think it's about $14 billion for Israel. There's $10 billion in humanitarian aid in there. And then a lot of money for border funding, $14 billion for that. So there's a lot of money on the table. The White House is trying to combine it all in one bill, try to get some of their priorities through at once. But right now it's an offer, just like Jim Jordan. And, you know, it's a serious situation, though, as funny as it sounds and as weird as it has been to follow, because, you know, there's people waiting for this. You know, what the U.S. really wants to do, I think the president talked about this last night, is take a lot of the equipment we already have and send it over there and then replenish our equipment. But I'm sure the armed forces don't want to be sending the things they already have without that replenishment in place, or at least promise. So, you know, we'll see. I thought they would have it figured out by now, but the frustrating part about what's happening in Washington is not only is Jordan going to be defeated on this ballot, it really doesn't seem like there's any plan B right now, unless there's something we're all missing.
Connell McShane is the host of News Nation Now, 2 o'clock this afternoon. Okay, Connell, let's visit again next Friday. As always, thank you.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it.